while they're in the middle of something and I would start picking a guitar on them. Or Jamie would be playing and I'd go over and start hitting something. I won't do that here. But I was looking at Adam. Adam, you bless me wherever you are. He's gone. He knew I was going to say that. Praise God. Well, I'm going to continue on from where we left off this morning. I want to go a little deeper. We had talked about four levels of tongues. I did want to speak on the second level, which would be tongues for interpretation, but I'm going to pass. I think the Lord is saying, speak on the one for tongues for personal edification. I want to bring out some reasons as to why we speak in tongues for personal edification. We are a church here that speaks a lot in tongues. I think it's amazing. But also while we're doing it, God is downloading things. There may be a few that don't understand that. So you're new to tongues, you've just been baptized in the Holy Spirit or whatever, you're a new Christian, because I don't know all of you. So I want to try and help explain that. But there is something that I want to finish up on this morning, and that is, if you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I actually started out there this morning and just took off because the Lord was downloading fast. And not even I could keep up. But there's something that I need to say. With all these gifts and things, it's as the Holy Spirit wills. All right? So that's what I'm going to look at right now. And it'll just take a moment, then we can move on. I want to get to the reasons why we speak in tongues. I was asked to speak on the Holy Spirit just over 10 years ago, because I have it dated, about why we speak in tongues. And I said, well, Lord, here's one for you, because I had it in my mind, but I didn't have anything written down. I had less than 10 minutes, so I wrote down 21 reasons. My hand was flying. But these are the same ones that I got that evening. I know they're of the Lord, so that's why I'm going to give them. There are many more, and I'm only scratching the surface. I mean, you just name it. The Holy Spirit is here to lead us and to guide us. He's the Spirit of truth. He wants to give us everything. We have the inheritance. We have to contend for the faith. It's so important. If the Holy Spirit left, we're in trouble. I mean, big trouble. But he's not going to do that without us, right? So I would like to mention, too, while we're looking that up, that there's benefits of tongues that a Dr. Carl Peterson of Oral Roberts University in Tulsa, Oklahoma, came up with. Here's an interesting health thought, he says. He's a brain specialist and was doing some research on the relationship between the brain and praying or speaking in tongues. And some amazing things were discovered. Through research and testing, Dr. Peterson found that as we pray in the Spirit or worship in the Spirit, our heavenly language, there is activity that begins in the brain. As we engage in our heavenly language, the brain releases two chemical secretions and are directed into our immune systems, giving 35 to 40% boost in the immune system. I wouldn't read this unless I believed it. So you can take it if you want, otherwise discard it. But this promotes healing within our bodies. Amazingly, the secretion is triggered from a part of the brain that has no other apparent activity in humans, and we don't use it. Our Spirit-led prayer and worship activate it. We need to pray in our heavenly language more and more and more than ever before. From 2005. I do believe that. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to start off with verse 1. I'm just going to give you a kind of a capsule here. But in verse 1, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren," talking to believers, "I would not have you ignorant." Now, we all know that any time that this word is said ignorant, "I don't want you ignorant," the devil says, "Ha, I want to make them ignorant." "You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led." Now, skip down to verse 4. "Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Holy Spirit." So there's a diversities of gifts, but it's the same Holy Spirit, number one. Number two, "There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord Jesus Christ." Three, "There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all." Let you know that the Trinity is involved with us praying in the Spirit. Now, verse 7, "But the manifestations of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." He gives us his tongue so that we can profit and claim our inheritance and come close to him and be led by him and know the inner witness and so on. Verse 8, "For to one is given the spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits," that's plural, "to another divers kinds of tongues," plural again, "to another the interpretation of them tongues." Now, here's one of the keys for this particular scripture is verse 11. "But all these worketh that one and that self same Spirit, dividing every man severally as the Holy Spirit wills." So we were talking about some of the offices this morning and touching on them. And I would just like to say that in this passage here, verse 8 to 10, there are 9 gifts mentioned. And I think I mentioned this before, but they're worth repeating. There are 3 that you know, 3 that you do, and 3 that you say, right? The 3 that you know is the gift of word of wisdom, the gift of the word of knowledge, and the gift of discerning of spirits, okay? The 3 that we do is the gift of faith, the gift of the working of miracles, and the gifts of healing. The 3 that you say are the revelation gifts, is the gift of prophecy, the gift of tongues, and the gift of interpretation of tongues. Now, when I said that some of these gifts go along with some of these offices, what I meant was that God will use us in some of these, especially the one for tongues for personal edification. The other 3 we talked about this morning were as he wills. He doesn't have to will for you to speak in tongues anytime you want to. You see, it's plural. That one there is for you to take. I would suggest you find some time and do extended periods of time in prayer. Things will begin to lift off. I'll tell you how it goes. When you begin to pray, you start free-flowing. Man, everything is great. All of a sudden, things start coming up, but it's in a fast form. And the things that start coming up are things that he wants to deal with. How many know that there's things that we want to deal with and things that he wants to deal with in us? And so that's what he does. He puts his finger on it, but he's there to help us. He's there to bring us through that impasse, because an impasse is when you're free-flowing and you flow up to a place, and it's tough. And in life, you're always going into one, you're in one, or you're out. Know it. You might as well know it. And so he takes care of that by saying, "Okay, you're ready now for me to deal with this." Because he wants to deal with it. He wants us to walk a holy life. In 1 Peter 1, verse 15, 16, it says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." We need to be holy. We need to walk as God has called us to walk. Amen? So we're praying in the Spirit. We're praying that first level, that Spirit, where that praying in tongues, where we're building ourselves up in our most holy faith. We're edifying ourselves. We're becoming a superstructure. But when it talks about these gifts here, there are 9 of them. There are gifts that go with certain offices. Ephesians 4, verse 11, or if you go down, We read this morning, verse 28-30. It says, "And God has set some in the church, first apostles, then prophets, teachers, miracles, the gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues, and so on. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No." But let's look at that one just for a minute. Turn over to Acts chapter 21. Working of miracles goes with the evangelist. Acts 21. Verse 8. "And the next day, we that were of Paul's company parted and came into Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist." So we know that the Bible talks about evangelists. It doesn't talk about it often, but it talks about evangelists. Now, flip back to Acts chapter 8. We're going to see what an evangelist does. We know now that Philip was walking in the office of an evangelist. We know that the word says and calls him an evangelist. So here's what an evangelist does. In Acts chapter 8, we're going to see. It says here, verse 5, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he preached Christ unto them." One thing about an evangelist is this. You give him a scripture and you let him run with it. Before you know it, he's back on track talking to people about Jesus Christ. Because that's his calling. That's what he likes to do. And that's what he was doing here. But look at the next verse. "And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." So we know that he was an evangelist. We know that he was doing miracles. And we know that the evangelist who walks in the office of the evangelist has the gift of the working of miracles working in his life. There are others. For example, I won't get into this because I want to get on to the reasons. But for example, a prophet will give you a now word. Something that God has given to him impulsively. That's why you hear people, if they stand up and give a word, you got to judge it, of course. Because sometimes the word goes in the spirit, then out, in and out. You've got to take it from, and you got to judge it, as the word says. But it's good that we have them. People are growing, and there are mature prophets, and it's great to see this ministry in operation. But one thing about a prophet, he has the gifts that he has, and I won't take time to go into it, but I'll just share it with you. Some of the things that the gifts that the prophet has working in him is this. One is prophecy, obviously. The other one is tongues and interpretation of tongues. But the other ones are the gift of the word of wisdom, the gift of the word of knowledge. He has to know. He has to hear from God. He has to say, "Lord, is this now time to give this?" Yes, it is. Go for it. Then use wisdom. This is all supernatural, and God wants his body. He wants to build us up. If you look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, you'll see that it's for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. That's why they're given, and so they're here. But the other thing that the prophet uses, or God downloads, the other gift, is the gift of discerning of spirits. This is very important. And it's discerning of spirits, not only the bad and evil, blank, just put it like, it's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Or, over in the enemy's department, it's the devil, it's his angels, or it's the demons. They'll give you, and he'll know how many families are working within the demonic. He'll tell you what the kingpin is. Because he has the gift of discerning his spirits. If you're praying for someone who needs deliverance, it may not just be one, it may be a family. And there are some that will not come out unless you find out what it is or if that person is not ready. And the other thing is, too, the gift of discerning his spirits, he will know the born-again man and the non-born-again person. He you'll know. So it's really amazing. Glory to God. Now, I'd like to go into the reasons why we speak in tongues. I have a lot of scripture here, but I'm going to just pass it for now. But just to pass by this, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 20, put on the whole armor of God. Verse 18 tells us to pray with all prayer. It's not just tongues, but it does include tongues. And all supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Okay, 21 reasons. Speaking in tongues is a definite major warfare strategy. It's initiated by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit gives us utterance. And as much as we want, whenever we want, to grow in Him. Praying in the Spirit takes you out of the works and now puts the responsibility of Holy Spirit being in charge and not you. What a relief. Number one, we speak to God and not to man, for no one understands, not even the devil. 1 Corinthians 14 and 2. It says, for he that speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak to man, but to God. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Now, let's realize this, that the mysteries that we're speaking are mysteries that are coming from God. They're not coming from us to God. They're coming from Him to us. And mysteries, what are they? They're a hidden spiritual truth, but now God is making them available or manifest to us who are the Christians. But we have to go after it and dig for it. We have to become mature. We have to go 30, 60, and 100. We have to be on that progression. We have to be, let's put it this way, trusted and know that we can be trusted. And we have to know who we are in Christ. But this is what He wants to do. We need to spend time with Him. Number two is, it is the initial sign that the Holy Spirit has come to earth. He came as the promise of the Father. Luke 24, 49, Jesus says, when you go to Jerusalem, tarry for the promise of the Father. When they went there, Acts 1, 4, said they were waiting for the promise of the Father. Acts 1, 8, what will happen? You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. In Acts chapter 2, He did come in. He did come in. And there was 120. And they began to speak with the other tongue. And many people got saved. And I don't think it was just Peter. He may have been the main attraction, but there was 120 that spoke with other tongues. And there was probably someone maybe around the corner or up the street a little bit speaking the gospel message in smaller groups. Peter was speaking to the bay. I believe that. It doesn't say that. But that's what I believe. I believe there were, the 120 were all speaking in tongues. That day when Peter gave the message of the gospel, 3,000 were saved. Verse number three, we speak the mysteries of God that have been in God since before the world began. We talked about the incorruptible seed this morning, 1 Peter 1:23. We do, when we're born again, we have that incorruptible seed implanted in us. We become born again. And in that seed is the DNA for the plan for us. And God, I know He just loves it, working on it, bringing us through things and impasses and bringing us into the peace and the inheritance that's ours and the grace that's ours, the unmerited, but the favor. Number four, let me read this in terms of mysteries. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 to 10, it says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. But as it is written, eye is not seen, nor ear heard, nor it is entered into the heart of them that love God. But He just wants to download them mysteries. He wants us to walk in that victory. So God has revealed them to us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things. Colossians 1 and 25, still speaking about mystery, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. All them mysteries, all them hidden truths that have been in God are being made manifest to us. And they're in the Holy Spirit. Number four, we edify ourselves. Yes, edification. Will manifest, will become an edifice or a superstructure. Listen to this. We are established in Christ, anointed by God, and sealed by the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 21, 22. The Holy Spirit is our earnest. Talks about this, where the earnest is like a down payment. If you go to buy a house, you put a down payment on it. That house is yours. And that earnest is here until the Lord comes back, until we're taken away with him. And in the meantime, we're his. He has paid an awful price. Okay. Number five, there's a great exchange. We touched on that this morning. But our fear for his peace. Our weakness for his strength. Our sickness for his health. Our poverty for his riches. And our death for his life. You know, we're born again. Are you born again? Are you hungry? Are you spiritually hungry? I know you are. It's easy to see. Father, I take authority over that that demonic activity that's going on in that mind right now. I command it to loose that person right now. In Jesus' name. I'm saying to you, cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. It seems like the enemy comes along almost whenever he wills. And I'm speaking to someone here. And takes over your mind almost. You're not possessed or anything like that. But to that person, I believe the Lord is speaking to you. You need to make sure that you deal with that. That's not you. That's not you. The Holy Spirit gives us utterance. It's him talking through us. That's a miracle in itself. Number seven, we speak the wonderful works of God, mainly concerning redemption. Acts 2 and 11, that's what happens. And Psalm 22, 3, he dwells amongst his people as we worship him. Number eight, we become unmanageable for the devil. This one I really like. Amen. Because again, he doesn't know what we're saying. All he knows is we're speaking mysteries. And he knows that if we continue doing this, we're going to become a superstructure, an edifice to house the anointing. Then he knows that he's in trouble. But there's nothing he can do about it. He's Mr. Frustration. There's nothing he can do. We become unmanageable. When we get up in the morning, he takes the aspirin. Not us. He looks at us and he says, uh-oh, there's that pattern again. These guys are going to do mighty exploits in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's nothing I can do. He's saying, hey, I'm the God of this world. What's wrong with me? Well, you're beat. You're not creative. You're not creator. You've been created. And we know that you have quite a bright future in the fires. Yeah, it's going to be warm. He won't have this weather. Oh, boy. I'll stop there. Number 9, we give thanks to God. Number 10, we move out of the sense realm and into the love of God. Number 11, we build ourselves up in our most holy faith. Hebrews 11 and 6 says, "For without faith it's impossible to please him. But he that comes to him first must believe that he is." We'll get out of that unbelief realm. We will believe that he is, first. And secondly, that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It does wonders for the unbelief. Number 12 says, praying in tongues is praying in line with God's perfect will. We looked at that one this morning. Romans 8, 26 to 29. He prays in us, for us, and through us. Not only for us, though, for other people. I do know this about praying and interceding for people. God will not give you the dirty laundry, if there is such a thing. He'll give you a burden for a person or something, a place, a thing, or whatever. Generally a person. And the burden will be such that it won't be a killer burden. Now, there is that, yes. But in general, he wants us so clean that we can stand between hell and a person, and we stand in the middle and not fall and not give in to temptation. So the burden will come, and so you just need to pray in the Spirit, allow him to use your voice. I'm going to say this, and I just, from what I understand and from what I've seen, may not be doctrinal correct, whatever, but here's what I'll say. A lot of times people are praying in the Spirit, and they think they're interceding, and they're not. You know, they're yelling and screaming, and that's fine, that's good. But they believe they're specifically standing and in intercession. And really they're not. But sometimes he does come in and he gives you a person and a burden. And all you do is you find a place, or if you're driving or something, just pray it through and the burden will lift. You know it's done. There are many times that he does that. And he wants to do it. But he wants us to be mature enough so that the enemy can't grab a hook. Because we have to be mature enough to do that. I think there are people that do pray constantly. There are prayer warriors and intercessors. But I believe they've had to grow into that. So be careful. Ask the Lord about that. Okay. So we pray, this is for 13, since we are praying in line with God's perfect will, we will not pray selfish prayers. 14 helps us bring our tongue under subjection. James 3 talks about this. It says, no man can tame the tongue, but that's in the natural. But the Holy Spirit can. 15, it keeps you from worldly contamination. Since Holy Spirit is holy and his language, it's his language that we are praying to build us up. And as we pray in tongues, we will be continually cleansed. He will take us through impasse after impasse, and I mentioned that. That's a hard place. But if we want to go to the other side, if we want to progress in him, that's what he wants us to do. Number 16, praying in the Spirit reminds us of Holy Spirit's indwelling. 1 John 4 and 4, for greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Number 17, this is another really good one. He gives us spiritual refreshing. Isaiah prophesied this. How many times, for me personally, have I been refreshed? There are things that I need to do and all the rest of it, but I just find it, number one, I have to stop and take time with the Lord. things seem to be coming in that are starting to rattle me. They're trying to confuse me. The enemy is attacking, and so on. But there is a refreshing for us. In Isaiah 28, verse 11 and 12, it says, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people, to whom he has said, 'This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest.'" And this is a refreshing. But then he says they wouldn't listen. But we listen. We're here. We're hungry. We love God. Number 18 says it plays a major part in our sanctification. The process by which Holy Spirit changes us to be more like Him. Separation from the world, but separated to God. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And it's not just concerning smoking cigarettes or drinking. It's not just concerning, you know, judgments of other people or acting harshly or criticism or causing something within the body, such as division or something like that. But really, we're a temple of the Holy Spirit, and we need to have no heresy. We need to have the truth within us. If we build our spirit up to the point where it's stronger than all this stuff, it's only a matter of time that the spirit will win out. If we listen to the soul, one day we're good, the next day we're not. And the difference between the soul and the spirit is this. Basically, they're both the same in some ways. They're both going to go on for eternity. Number one. Number two, they're both eternal. You can't touch them. But you can build your soul up not to listen to your flesh. Or you can build your spirit up so that your soul will listen to your spirit. We have an intellect. We have a free will, and we have emotions. When we take the Word of God, like, for example, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing center of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and it's a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart." Where does the Word work? Is it out there somewhere working on us? No, we have to get it in us for it to work. And so it will deal with our soul. We will not be led by soul. Nothing wrong with soul. It's a great thing. No matter where we end up as eternal creatures, it's going with us. But if we can renew it to line up with the Word of God, which is as we fill our spirit with the spirit of truth and not the spirit that's in the world, because many people are confused about that. There's two wisdoms. James 3, verse 13 and 18 tells us about the wisdom. There's an earthly wisdom. It says it's devilish, it's sensual. But then there's a godly wisdom. The first is peaceable. It's true. It's the truth. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us to deal with the soul. I mean, even the flesh, the senses, you know, the touch, the taste, all that stuff. If we're not careful, the soul will follow that because it'll do what we feed it. But we have to become strong in spirit. And how else or how better could we become strong than the Word, which was written by the Holy Spirit anyway? I believe it's 1 Peter 1:20. But or by praying in the Spirit, allowing the person who wrote the Word to be in you. And what he does in John 16, verse 13, 14, and 15, he runs the mind of Christ through you when you spend hours in prayer nonstop. He's running the mind of Christ through you. He will deal with the issues that are in you. And it takes so much pressure off. All you do is shun, knowing full well that is the Spirit of God. I can't stress that enough. He's the Spirit of God. He's not just an angel. I mean, there are many kinds of angels, right? And they've all got their job, but he's the Holy Spirit. He's holding everything together. When Jesus left, he came. Anyway, that's another story. But number 19, praying in tongues builds a relationship with Holy Spirit. He will tell you things to come. He's also the only inoculation, only. He's your vaccination, if you'd say it that way, against deception. There are smart demons out there. I'll give credit where it's due. I'm not building them up. I don't do that. But we have an enemy that's worked with our God before he was cast down. And he learned some stuff. In any case, number 20, you will speak the word of God with boldness. Number 21, it'll mortify the deeds and desires of the flesh. I'm going to read this in King James, and I'm going to read it in Amp. This is the last one. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. That's your spirit. For if you live after the flesh, you'll die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you'll live. Extended periods of time praying in the Spirit, this will happen. You may not even know what's going on, but the Spirit does. All you know is you're going through a tough time. Well, big deal. Look what Jesus did for us. And if we've come that far off the mark over all these years and need to be pulled in, then so what? When I get to heaven, I don't want to be someone who is there that did not have the opportunity to hear the truth. Now let me read this in the Amplified, verse 13. For if you live according to the dictates of the flesh, you will surely die. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit, you are habitually putting to death, making extinct and deadening the evil deeds prompted by the body, you shall really and genuinely live forever. Finally, on that note, sin shall not have dominion. Romans 6 and 14. I know we think, well, you know, I'm just human. I can't stop that. Yes, you can. You may not be able to stop it today, but you can stop it. Because it's not only you that does it. Us in the natural can't stop nothing. It's like all these things that we're going to do after Christmas. When January comes, I'm fasting. Or my favorite is, I'll start Monday. But you know what I'm saying? And we do it for a while. But I'll tell you this in closing. We do it for a while, but then what raises up? The emotions, right? The soul. It says, you know, you really shouldn't do this. Wouldn't you like that piece of apple pie, Larry? You know, you can start next Monday again. Hey, Josh, that's the way it goes. But with the Holy Spirit and submitting to him without any pride in there, because he resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humbling is just having a teachable heart. Allow him to teach us. So, Father, we worship you and thank you tonight for your Holy Spirit. Lord, we reverence him. We don't take him for granted. And Lord, as we speak on the Holy Spirit, I know that you're going to show up like you did, like you're doing in our services, but more and more and more. And Father, as Holy Spirit shows up, we'll understand more. Because sometimes our faith does not go beyond our knowledge. Lord, I ask too that you'll bless the worship team here. anoint them, their equipment, their instruments, their time together, their fellowship. Father, their anointing, protect it. Protect it, Lord. We thank you for them. Father, I thank you for Pastor Kathy and the leaders here. Lord, keep them safe, protected. Thank you for them. Good, godly people. They're hard to find. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for this. And Father, I call in the lost in every family right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan, take your hands off every person that's connected with our families. Now. Not later. Now, in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray that you'll send your angels, Lord, if necessary, to minister to them, to prepare their heart to receive the gospel. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we will not give up. Lord, we're coming up to eternity. Father, we just love you. We know you want them with you more than we want them. So we agree with you. Let your love flow. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Truth of God is what you need, bringing conviction, setting you free.